Hello, FPL managers. Welcome to a new episode of the FPL Optimized podcast. This is episode number 89. I am Bas, the casual manager, and my co-host is Sir Top, the data scientist. This is the podcast in which we combine analytics with the good old eye test. Data or grass, or data and grass? That's the question. We're recording on Monday evening, which is earlier than usual due to some constraints in our agendas this week. So it will give you more time to enjoy and consider the content, but do keep in mind that there are still quite some European games that will be played this week. So keep an eye on those results and especially on any injury or fitness news. We still have one game left in game week 33, which is the Chelsea-Everton game. So we can't do a full game week review yet. But is there anything you want to say about it already, Sir Top?
A few things. First of all, we also skipped game week 31 and 32 evaluation. So let me give an update on head-to-head too.
Thank you.
I know you want to talk about it, so I will appreciate go ahead it and do it. Yeah. In game week 31, Bas got 73 points. I got 47, so he got another win. And then in game week 32, he finished 5 points ahead of me. I got 74 and he got 79.
Very nice.
Meaning that head-to-head is 16-15 now on my favor. But this game week is interesting because Bas has two players, Sanchez and Palmer, and I have only Palmer left. We have 5 points between us. So if Sanchez doesn't play, he will get Dubravka from the auto sub, meaning that he will get 6 more points and win this game week too, which will make our head-to-head equal.
Yeah, man.
But if Sanchez plays and then loses the clean sheet, which I really hope, then I will get another win. But yeah, we're almost equal now.
Yeah, nice. As I said, never give up.
The whole never time you are smiling.
Yeah, big smile.
Big smile. Yeah.
But I forgot actually that there is a chance that Sanchez might play. Yeah, I actually, I don't think he'll play. But yeah, before the game week, I thought Sanchez would have a better chance of a clean sheet than Dubravka. So that's why I put him number one in the goal. Mm-hmm. I kind of forgot about it. You just reminded me about it. So let's see what will happen tonight.
Okay, we will see. And how was your game week going otherwise?
Yeah, a bit of a strange game week, I guess for many people the same, right? Saturday, not too bad, especially for people like myself who have a few Newcastle players. So yeah, Dubravka, I already mentioned. I had Isaac up front, so that was quite a good start. I also had Reguilón in the team, so that was also quite nice. Brentford clean sheet. However, I also captained Tony, which I think on paper looked like a good idea. A little bit of differential, Brentford at home against Sheffield. But then he didn't play a single minute. So yeah, there's something going on there, it seems. So then my vice captain was Salah, but he didn't do much, just 2 points. And I also had a few other players who didn't show up, like Foden didn't play, also Aït Nouri didn't play. So overall, I hope to be quite average to the field if I do get the points from Dubravka, but nothing spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same for you, I think, right?
Yeah, well, for me, it wasn't a particularly good week. I mean, no. The only thing that's saving me is the captaincy, I think. I got Haaland.
Yeah.
And besides him, the only player that didn't blank in my team is Solanke, 7 points. But the rest is just terrible. Muniz got 2, Saka got 2 points, Salah got 2, Son 1 point, Gabriel finished with 0 points, Bradley got injured and he got only 1. Selva got 1 and then Neto got 0 points. So it's just like, I don't know. It feels like I'm playing anti-FPL. Like I'm trying to avoid points somehow. Like choosing the players who plays almost full matches, but then blanking left and right.
I think it happened to many people. All the Arsenal and Liverpool and Spurs options didn't perform. So I think there were a lot of people in this position this week.
Yeah.
That's a bit unfortunate. Also for the Premier League championship race.
Mm-hmm.
City has the lead now, And well, there's already some people saying that it's over. I don't think it's over yet, but well, City don't drop many points. So let's see. I hope Arsenal and Liverpool can go back to winning ways.
Okay. Do you have a... Are you rooting for any particular team, or do you just don't want City to win it?
Yeah. Well, I just hope that it will stay exciting until the end. Okay. And also, I think for any of us who will be bench boosting in 37, I think that could be good too. If it stays close until the end, because otherwise we might see a bit more rotation, especially from City. Which could ruin some of our double game week plans. But yeah, we still have a few weeks to go until that. First up is game week 34. I'll be free hitting, so I'm quite excited about the upcoming game week. So yeah, let's see what advice you will have for me later on. But let's start with the fixture ticker.
Yeah, and before we start this, I'm just surprised that you haven't used your wild card yet. Like, I was thinking any week now he's gonna trigger it, but then
yeah,
you got good game weeks, and then I said, yeah, that makes sense. Maybe it's just, you know, happened.
Yeah.
And then now it's free hit time for you, obviously.
I thought my team was in decent form, so I just capped it. Mm-hmm. You never know. Maybe if I changed it, I could have done maybe even better. But last weeks have been quite okay. Yeah. So yeah, my plan is now free at 34 and then wildcard 35 to set me up for the bench boost in 37. That's the idea. Try to finish strong, a bit late, but strong.
Sounds good. Okay, the fixture ticker. The number one team here is Arsenal. And, you know, it's always between City, Arsenal, Liverpool. Anyway, and Arsenal is number one. They have best fixtures in terms of, you know, FPL. Not going to comment on the actual league and title chances. So Arsenal has a good game week this week too. They are doubling. They're playing against Wolves away and Chelsea at home. Mm-hmm. And their offense point average is around 7.9 and defense point average is 6.7, which is pretty nice. They also have Bournemouth gaming game week 36, which is another good fixture. So they have, like, before that game and also after that game week, they have relatively tougher fixtures against Tottenham and Manchester United in 37. But then they finished the season with Everton game, and that's also a favorable game, especially defensively. Okay. So yeah, well, Arsenal defenders, lots of people already have them anyway. Yeah. But yeah, they will be in demand again.
Yeah.
And the second team is Manchester City. They play against Brighton this game week. It's a normal fixture, not particularly good or bad. And then they have Nottingham Forest. Then they have Wolves, which is a favorable fixture defensively. And then they double in 37. Both away games, but their point average is pretty good. You know, very similar to how Arsenal is. Has this game week. So 7.9 is their offense point average, and then they close the season with West Ham, which is, you know, pretty good in general. Yeah. In the third place, we have Liverpool. Liverpool is also doubling this game week. They are playing against Fulham and Everton. 6.2 is the defense point average, and 7.6 is the offense point average. Then we have Tottenham. Tottenham has a blank this week. But then they have a double in 35 and also another double in 37. And those doubles are nice. And we have Chelsea. Chelsea is an interesting case because they're doubling in 35 and 37. And they're not blanking in 34. So, like, if you think about it, they have lots of fixtures. But this fixture, especially, their point averages are quite low against Arsenal. Defense point average is only 2.4, which is unusually low, and offense point average is only 3.2, and it's so low that it makes the bottom 10 percentile attacking wise. So I guess models are thinking that Arsenal is gonna dominate that game. And their doubles are Aston Villa and Tottenham in game week 35, and also Nottingham Forest and Brighton in 37. Pretty good games. And then we have Manchester United. Playing against Sheffield United this week. you know, a normal fixture. And then Newcastle is playing against Crystal Palace. And then we have Everton doubling. Both games at home, which is pretty nice. They are playing against Nottingham Forest and Liverpool. And their point averages are defense 4.9 and offense is 6.3. So good options there. We have Crystal Palace in the 9th place and finally Wolves at the 10th place. So they have a double this game week. But in the horizon, they also have Manchester City in 36 and Liverpool in 38, both at away. So they are at the 10th place. Any comments, Buzz?
Yeah, first of all, I think now it's the first time we have to ticker until game week 38, right? Until the end.
Yes, correct. You're right.
So that's quite nice. We have a full picture now. And I was looking at the top three, thinking also about what we discussed earlier, like the race for the title. And I was just wondering if you look at the fixtures for City, like where might they lose some points? And it might be, you know, the tough one is game week 37, the second game, right? Tottenham away. Also, we know that they don't like to go there typically previous seasons. Sometimes they've lost there. So I think we just need to hope that Arsenal and Liverpool can keep it up until that late game week 37, because then it could still be interesting for the final day.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that Tottenham is going to play all three of them. I mean, Arsenal 35, Liverpool 36, and then 37 City. So Tottenham can decide the winner.
Right.
We will see.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Tottenham is struggling, right? If we saw them at Newcastle losing 4-0, they're not in the best form. But hopefully they can, you know, they can recover. Their next game is at home to Arsenal in game week 35. So that will be a big game. And the other thing I was thinking, especially as I'm free hitting, like Crystal Palace and Wolves at the bottom of the chart, you know, they have an interesting game week 34. And after that, it gets a bit tougher. So especially for free hitters, it's quite interesting to maybe take a few punts from those teams. Because then after that, you know, they'll be out of the team again. So, okay, cool. Yeah, and Man United, right? They have good fixtures, but struggling as a team. So other people have commented about that already. Like, yeah, Bruno is in good form. So maybe we could go for Bruno. But it's a difficult team to bet on at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, not just at the moment, right? The entire season already, unfortunately. And well, to finish it, Chelsea with two double game weeks. We mentioned it earlier, like everyone has Palmer already, so that's nothing unusual. You know, it's nice if he scores a goal, but everyone has him, so it doesn't really make a difference. And who else to bet on? That's the difficult one there for Chelsea. So, but. Yeah, probably we'll talk about it later on if we're approaching game week 35, and I think you will also be wildcarding. You know, who else maybe to get from Chelsea will be a discussion point then.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at the bottom teams.
Yeah, bottom teams. We have Luton Town at the top of this chart. So they have the lowest average projected points until the end of the season. They play against Brentford, and we have West Ham in the second place. They have tough fixtures. They will play against Liverpool in 35, Chelsea in 36, and then City in 38. So their fixtures are quite tough. So we probably won't see Kudus in Buzz's team. I feel like there's a last chance now. And then we have Sheffield United in the third place, and they're doubling this game week. Despite that, they have a tough fixture in 35 against Newcastle, and then in 37 they play against Everton, and in 38 Tottenham. So those three games are making to the bottom 10 percentile, pretty low projected point averages both defensively and offensively. Then we have Burnley playing against Sheffield United this game week. Again, they also have tough fixtures. We have Nottingham Forest in the fifth place here playing against Everton. Fulham follows, they play against Liverpool, and then we have Bournemouth coming after Fulham, and they have a double. They play against Aston Villa and Wolves. Then their projected point average is just 4.0 defensively and 5.9 offensively. Not bad, but not particularly good. Despite that, you know, it is like not unusual to see some of the Bournemouth players because, I mean, they're doubling anyway.
Yeah.
And then they have a tough fixture in 36 against Arsenal, and then in game week 38 they play against Chelsea. And in this table we have Brentford, Aston Villa, and Brighton. And all of these teams, they don't have a particularly good, you know, game week, don't have a particularly bad game week. Only Brighton has a double in game week 37 against Newcastle and Chelsea. It might be the one of the, I guess, most difficult doubles in this chart. But yeah, none of these fixtures or game weeks, I should say, make it to the top or bottom 10% percentile. No. So yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah, not much to comment. Maybe just Aston Villa, tough fixtures, but we've seen that Watkins keeps scoring goals.
Oh, yeah.
So I think kind of fixture proof, it seems. He's always scoring goals. So that's someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
All right. That covers the fixture ticker. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. I think it's too early in the week to look at the odds for the upcoming game week.
Yeah, I checked up the FPL's Twitter account, but yeah, it's too early. So we don't have anything yet.
No. So let's move to the optimal team for this week. And I think we'll also have a free hit team, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. So we usually cover wildcards, as you know. So I will share two wildcard teams. The first one is just wildcard 34 and nothing else. And the second team will be wildcard 34 with bench boost 37. For these two teams, I changed a few settings. The first one is, for the projected points, I used a 50-50 mix of FBI review and Mikael Togwams model. It's an equal mix, and I used 1.0 DK rate so that, you know, it's trying to maximize the whole horizon, not particularly the short-term focus. And 103 team value, so it might not be affordable for everyone, but, you know, I also assume that some of these players you might already have, you know, you maybe have purchased them at a cheaper price point. So, you know, it might be the case. Anything else? Free transfer value is 1.0 and burn value is 0.5. So those are the parameters. So I'm saying all these parameters because there is an interesting case here. So let me first talk about the wildcard team, and then I will talk about the transfer plan, which is more interesting. So in the goal, we have Raya. And as the bench goalkeeper, we have Petrovic. As defense players, we have Gabriel, Mikalenko, and Robertson. And also on the bench, we have Udogi and Pedro Porro, who are blanking this game week, but they play during the horizon.
Yeah.
In midfield, we have Saka, Eze, Olise, Salah, Bruno Fernandes. And in forward, we have Solanke, Darwin, and on the bench, we have Isaac. So this team looks pretty good. I mean, they're projected to get 106 points this game week alone. And also only player who's not doubling is Fernandez, if I see correctly. So which is pretty nice, you know. But so I also checked the scheduled transfers because I noticed something that it is taking two hits, and I was curious, you know, why is it taking two hits? It's funny, but in game week 35, it sells Saka for Palmer, Eze for Son, and Darwin for Nico Jackson. And all these three players are doubling in 35. And so whoever they are replacing, they also have high expected value, and these players also have high expected value. So it kind of makes sense to take a hit for these players.
All right.
And in game week 35, you have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players doubling, which is, you know, maximum you can do, I think. Which is interesting. And then it rolls the transfer in game week 36, doesn't make any transfers, and then in game week 37, it uses those two free transfers. Selling Salah for Gordon and Solanke for Haaland. So these three game weeks, you go without Haaland and then you get him back in game week 37 for his double. Yeah. And then in game week 38, it sells Fernandes for Saka. So Saka, you start with Saka and then you end with Saka. So again, I mean, this is pretty nice because you have 26 double game week players in this entire horizon, which is insane. If we check wildcard 34 plus bench boost 37, and then I noticed something even funnier, you would expect that the solver will have more doubling players, right? But it has less doubling players for some reason. Oh. It has a team, and then it again takes two hits in game week 35, and then bench boosting in game week 37. But since you're bench boosting, you can't carry any bad bench players in game week 37. And that actually decreases the quality of the surrounding game weeks a little bit, so that you lose a doubling player just to maximize your expected value in total. And this team is composed of Ederson in the goal and Petrovic as the bench goalkeeper. We have Gabriel, Saliba, Mikolenko, Burn, and Pedro Porro as defense players. Saka, Eze, Salah, Bruno Fernandes, and Gordon as midfielders, and Solanke, Darwin, and Isaac as forwards. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, same hits in game week 35, and then in game week 37, this plan has 123 expected value, which is, again, pretty nice. Any comments on the wildcard teams, Buzz?
Well, one thing is that we see Nico Jackson in the game 35 team. So that answers our question from earlier, like next to Palmer, you know, who's the model taking from Chelsea? Mm-hmm. And it's Petrovic in goal, but also Jackson. So that's, of course, theoretically an obvious candidate, I would say, you know, the striker of Chelsea, but we just seen from this season that he's not super reliable. So I think a lot of people will be questioning or will be, you know, debating whether they should go there. So that's one thing. And the other thing I was looking at, and that's something that was commented on earlier as well by other people, like in game week 37, we'll focus a lot on the double game week fixtures. Mm-hmm. Which means that a lot of us might go without Liverpool and without Arsenal. And I think what we see in the model, especially that Liverpool is being avoided. And what that means, that we won't have Liverpool players in game week 38, where they actually have quite a nice home fixture against Wolves. So again, it depends on whether they're still in the race for the title. But that could be something to keep in mind. Like, you might want a Liverpool player, or maybe even more than one, in game week 38. And that might then influence the decisions also for game week 37.
So I should just add something on that note. Like, I understand some people think that, oh, okay, this team has a particularly good game on game week 38, then you should have it. But as you mentioned, the biggest problem here, or biggest obstacle, I should say, is that you're bench boosting in 37. Yeah. And then if you're bench boosting, you want, you know, more doubling players instead of, you know, players. So if you, well, you can actually force in Liverpool players here. Like, you can ask Solver to say, in game week 38, I want at least two Liverpool players, which you can easily do. You can add a constraint. Okay. But then that will certainly decrease your total expected value, which means that, you know, statistically you are playing a little bit worse just to bet on a single fixture. It's possible. I mean, maybe you will, and you will get more points. Maybe they will get lots of points in game 38 and you will get lots of points, but it is less likely, I should say. So. Yeah. Yeah, double game weeks are usually more important if the fixtures are not terrible.
Oh, I agree, and I get that. I think it's just something to keep in mind. You know, yeah, there were some people also saying that, like, instead of using the free hit now, leave it until game week 38. So that could also be quite nice.
That's an option, yeah.
But yeah, you have other problems then, right? Some people or some teams might be on the so-called beach. You know, it's more difficult to predict who will play. So there's always pros and cons.
Yeah, I think game week 38 is especially good because of the leagues. I mean, you know, teams are playing at the same time, so that there's more chance of hearing about them, I guess.
I will stop looking at leagues. I did it last weekend with Foden will start. Oh, so okay.
Oh, yeah.
You got Foden on the team then, but Foden didn't start.
And then the funny thing is, people who leaked those information, they said, oh, it was a late change, like he was scheduled to start. And then they asked Pep about it. Have you seen it?
Right. Yeah, I saw it today on Twitter, yeah.
And Pep said, no, that wasn't the case, which is just funny, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. It's difficult to comment on, because when it was leaked, there were also some people saying, oh, we're so lucky to have these accounts that are sharing the leaks. And yeah, I don't know. I'm sure that they have the good sources, but, you know, it's difficult to know how reliable it is. So sometimes I think I should better not look at Twitter, because, you know, it was quite logic to think that Foden wouldn't play. Why would he risk it? So Foden was on my bench. And then last minute, you see a leak and think like, okay, I need to put him in the team. And then, yeah, you just change your mind based on the leaks. But yeah. Anyway.
But it didn't matter, right? You got the auto sub points anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But then I might have made another transfer, maybe.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes
because
sense.
Now, now I had Doughty and Morris on my bench. But anyway, it's fine. You know,
it's okay.
Next time the league might be correct, and then we'll all be happy. So it's difficult. So
maybe
to anyone sharing leagues, keep it up. And I think it's just up to all of us whether we want to look at it or not. Right? It's our own responsibility.
Yeah, so. That's correct. And maybe they will be right next time, and then you won't listen, and then you will. Yeah. You will say that. Okay, maybe I should be online and then check for the week.
Yeah, that's strange.
Anyway, so let's talk about free hit 34.
Yeah, let's look at the free hit team. Yeah.
So I use my own team value for generating this. Like if I was free hitting, you know what I will do. I don't have a free hit, by the way, but suppose that's the case. And the model gives this. Again, this is a mix of FBI review and Mikael Togbaum's models. And it has Pickford in the goal. And then Gabriel, Saliba, and Robertson in defense. Saka, Eze, Olise, Salah in midfield. And Solanke, Mateta, and Darwin in forwards. And on the bench, we have Saar, McNeil, and Mikolenko, and Dalo. But he's just a third bench here. Well, everyone is doubling, obviously. And Salah is the captain here. Yeah, I mean, triple Crystal Palace and triple Liverpool, triple Arsenal. And you have a goalkeeper from Everton and a forward from Bournemouth. I feel like this is a pretty good, like pretty solid free hit team. But what do you think? You are actually free hitting.
I am free hitting, and of course I activated it already. I've been playing around a bit with it, and I've got some similarities. I have the same three Crystal Palace players in my team, so I was thinking to count on their offensive guys. So Eze, Olise, and Mateta. I took Cunha in attack from Wolves, because he's in quite good form and they have two home games. They play Arsenal, so that's of course tough, but then they play also Bournemouth, so I think especially the second game looks interesting to me. And then for Arsenal, I'm currently going with Gabriel, Saka, and Havertz, even though there are a few fitness concerns with Gabriel, so I might change that to either Saliba or White. And then for Liverpool, I currently have Salah, and then I have Virgil plus Trent in the back.
Oh, okay.
Because Trent, he came back in the team. But let's see what will happen. You know, they play another Champions League game. Oh, no, not Champions League. European League game this week. So definitely I'll be watching that one, and might make some changes based on that. And I also have Pickford in the goal. So... okay. Yeah, before I had Luis Diaz instead of Olise, So yeah, still a few things maybe to consider and to change, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, and you're not considering Saka or maybe?
I have Saka. Saka.
Oh,
Havertz.
Sorry. Saka.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and you have only one defender. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I've got one defender, Gabriel. Okay. Yeah.
Got it. I thought and then I've got
captaincy is not so easy though. I have it on Salah, but Salah didn't look so good this week, and also last week he didn't look so good. So yeah,
true. They had a bad
tough
game.
One.
Yeah.
So maybe I should just bet on a Crystal Palace player. If anyway we're betting on Crystal Palace, so why not give them the armband?
Okay, yeah. And which one in particular?
Then it will probably be Eze, I think.
Yeah, his projected points is higher. Yeah, that will be interesting.
Let's see. But yeah, but you said that obviously it has double game week players, but that's another discussion point, right? Like, should you really go for only double game week players? Maybe you should keep Haaland in the team. They play at Brighton, or maybe, you know, Watkins at home to Bournemouth. It's always a consideration that we only look at the double game week players to free it, and we kind of forget the single game week players.
Yeah, let me check actually quickly now that you said it. I'm curious if any players have any good projected points. So if we use just, again, 50-50 mix, we have Salah, Saka, Odegaard, Eze, Solanke, Darwin, Havertz, Luis Diaz, Gabriel, Raya, Olise, Saliba, White, Robertson, Martinelli. So all doubling players.
Oh, all doubling, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to bet on maybe, you know, Arsenal not doing well, or maybe, you know, Liverpool not doing well.
Yeah. With my rank, I will just go the other way. I'll just go all in with the free hit on the double game week players, and I'll just hope that the single game weeks, especially Man City, that they will have a tough game, and then I'll just bet on that. Yeah.
Why not?
Let's see. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Exactly.
Then the final chart, as always, the captaincy options.
Oh, or before captaincy. Okay. Yeah, I want to say something about free hit 34. Since I was using a mix, I decided to check, you know, what the optimal free hit team looks for FBI review by Mikael Tokvam. By the way, again, like, free hit is a little bit special because you can apply auto sub rules more aggressively here. Like, you can go for players who are playing either 90 minutes or 0 minutes, for example. So if you are using FBI Reviews tool, the optimal free hit 34 team might be different than this. So we are just using linear optimization. Just a technical warning here. So we talked about Review and Mikkel's 50-50 mixed team, but if we just only use FBI Reviews data, then we get Henderson in the goal, Crystal Palace goalkeeper, and Pickford starts as a bench goalkeeper. We have Gabriel, Saliba, and Munoz from Crystal Palace. So as you see, like, goalkeeper is different, third defender is different, and Salah, Saka, and it has Luis Diaz, Eze, and McNeil, who's also in the starting lineup here, that you are replacing Olise with Luis Diaz. And in forward, it has Solanke, Darwin, and Kunha is in the bench.
Yeah.
If you use just Mikael Tokvam's model, then you get Pickford in the goal, just like in the mixed model. And as defenders, it has Gabriel and White instead of Saliba. It has White and also Alexander Arnold. So, which is interesting because neither FBI Review's own team and Mikael Tokvam's team has Robertson. But if you mix them, then you get Robertson, which is funny. And Mikalenko and Brent Wade is in the bench, Everton defenders. And then in midfield, we have Salah, Saka, Eze, Olise, and Brereton Diaz.
Yeah.
And in the forward, we have Solanke and Darwin. And in this team, Mateta is on the bench, which is, you know, there are some differences, but just wanted to share in case people find it interesting.
So all three teams have Solanke and Darwin. And I don't have them yet in my team. I just don't like them.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, betting against them, I guess, if you're not particularly interested.
I still have a few days to think about it, so let's see.
Sure. Yes.
All right. So then we'll look at the captaincy options.
Yes. Captaincy is clear this game week, although I'm going to say this, despite you saying that you didn't like Salah particularly in last game weeks, but he's ahead of everyone else. He has, in the ensemble bundle, he has 13.09 expected value or projected point. And player who's closest to him is Saka with 11.3. And then comes Odegaard with 9.54. And then we have Eze at 9.22. And finally, Havertz at 9.12. Salah is the top player in most models, or I should say all except one. Only Fantasy Football Fix has Saka ahead of Salah. And Salah is only 3% away in that model. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think models are clearly favoring Salah, but that's usually the case because Salah's baseline is higher. I mean, as a player, he's projected to get more points in a regular season. But if you're particularly obviously concerned about his form or like recent performance, then yeah, these are the other options. You have Saka, Odegaard, Eze, and Havertz.
Yeah. But Saka's form is also not too great. So that makes it difficult. Yeah. Let's see. So you'll go for Salah, I guess.
I will certainly go for Salah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're just quiet now.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is big. I mean,
it's big. And usually, you know, with a double game week for Liverpool, it would be a no-brainer. We would go for Salah, but I don't know. I've seen the recent games also against Atalanta for Europe. And now yesterday, yeah, I think, I don't know, he didn't look like his usual self in terms of confidence on the ball. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can always change in a single game. It just didn't give me much trust. But anyway,
so then my question will be this: I mean, since Salah is also in lots of people's team, even if they're not free hitting, you know, lots of people have Salah. So his ownership will be high anyway.
Yeah.
His ownership will be high also because he will be chosen as a captain in most teams.
Right.
Except maybe free hit teams if they want to try something different. So the question is, if you want to bet against him by not captaining him, would you consider not having him in your free hit team in the first place and hope that he blanks? What do you think about it?
That would be probably a smart move, but a very risky move.
So you think he won't do well, but just in case he does it well? Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the type of manager I am, I guess. I still
there's nothing wrong with it.
No, but I see what you mean. Like, if I'm not confident on him, then maybe it's... Why should I bet on him? Yeah, it's kind of, you know, taking the middle ground. If he does score a goal, then, you know, I want to have him in my team because everyone else has him. But I try to be different with my captain. That could be, that's probably what I'm most comfortable with doing. And it's quite nice, when we're now discussing this, I have in mind the previous podcast you did with the guests because it was a bit about the playing styles and what are you comfortable with, right? It was a really nice discussion you had, and I have that in mind now. So I'm comfortable with not captaining him, but I'm not comfortable with not owning him. So that's a bit probably the type of manager I am. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. I think, you know, I always find it annoying because of the FPL's design. Unfortunately, the captaincy makes it weird because sometimes you have both, like, let's say Haaland and Salah in your team, and then you have to choose between them, and then the other player ends up with a higher ownership than 100% because, you know, other people captain that player. So now you're in a weird spot because obviously it is your player, so you want him to get points. But whenever he scores a goal, you lose rank. And you lose sometimes rank very aggressively. So it's just, you know, by design, it's just annoying.
Yeah, that's true. It's also a little bit the case now with Arsenal defense, right? Like, I have just one defender, but a lot of people have two defenders. So actually, it's better if they lose the clean sheet.
Yeah, that's true. That's in true. Same thing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, so, sometimes you need to go big in FPL. Well,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm saying this, but then you can gain big, but you can also lose big.
Yeah.
Just referring to this episode from last week. Yeah.
And you could say, like, in my case, what am I, 600K, 700K?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter. So maybe I should go big and still try to increase my rank. But I would be happier just to still make some steps, you know, maybe end somewhere 200K, 300K, because considering where I came from, then I still think that will be a nice way to finish it. So, that's what I will try to do. Yeah. But no, good point. Well, good that you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The final part, I think, look at the mini league.
Mini league. Yeah. I mean, the game week is still ongoing, but we can, I guess, talk about this.
Yeah, so just a few things we can say. We have Sandeep on number one. He has quite a good game week, which is, again, impressive. Because as we mentioned earlier, it was not an easy game week for many of us. But he's currently on 65 points. And he's also OR number one. So overall in FPL, we have the leader in our mini league, Sandeep. Keep it up. 65 points so far. And then number two is Ross with the return of the Mac. You can see that he has having a bit more difficult game week, like many of us, 38 points so far. And then number three, Cedric L with 51 points. And actually, Ross and Cedric are quite close to each other, just a 3 points gap overall. And the gap towards Sandeep is a bit bigger. Okay, I think that's it for today. Or was there anything else heard up?
Of course, it's your jersey. That's the last topic we need to talk.
Good reminder. Yeah, I was looking again at the shirts that I received from Koen Visser, a listener. And today is an Arsenal shirt. It would have been probably more fitting to wear a City shirt, but unfortunately I don't have one. So it's Arsenal. I quite like the shirt, white colored. It's from 2009-2010 Nike as the kit provider, and it was the third shirt from that season.
Oh, third shirt. Okay, looks great. Yeah,
I like it. It's nice. So thanks again, Koen. And that was it for today. So this was FPL Optimized Podcast episode number 89. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with another episode next week. You can subscribe to our podcast so you'll get notified when the next episode is published. And if you enjoy our content, you can make us happy by leaving a positive review. You can also follow us on X. For SirTop, it's at SirTopBilal. And for me, it's at BelfieBB. We also have a separate account for the pod, which is at FPL Optimized. And you can also find us on YouTube.
And until next time, stay curious and stay analytical. Goodbye.
Goodbye.